I remember quite a number of years ago when she was just a little baby, how we prayed, oh God, touch her. She's a miracle for the Lord. And boy, I'm a little burdened today. I'm burdened for my country. It's a mess we're in. You know, young people, if you do what you want to do, you're going to be in a mess. I'll tell you for sure. Our country is in a downward spiral, huh? And I'm praying for revival. I love Canada. I want you to know I love you. About every one of you preachers I've preached in your churches over the years, and so glad to see each one of you. That was a great message last night, wasn't it? I was blessed. Now, some of you young people, I mean, sitting there and say, well, I could never be like that. Well, he's not normal. Believe me. And you pastors aren't normal either. You know, people in your church are looking for somebody that's normal. When they come to visit, they want somebody that's a normal person to reach out to them and be a friend. We have so many people that come through our church, churches, and they visit once or twice, but they don't come back. You wonder, what's wrong with us? You know, I try to pray for them or try to visit them, but they're looking for more than just a handshake or something to be friendly. They're looking for a friend. They're looking for love. They're needing somebody. And so that's something we can all do. Amen. Yeah, I'm a little bit sad because we're leaving today. I've had such a good time. I'm thankful for the part. I'm cutting out and leaving early because my granddaughter's getting married and I'm having a part in the ceremony. It's our first granddaughter to get married, and we've got to be in Oklahoma for Monday morning, and so pray for us about that. This afternoon, Lord willing, at 4, I'm going to give tips to parents. We have 5 children are all living for the Lord, and it wasn't any of our doing. We weren't perfect parents. But, you know, my brother has 5 children, and they're all living for God, and pastors and missionaries. And I was thinking about, you know, what made the difference. Around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, my mother, she's 98, a very beautiful woman when she was, I could show you the pictures when she was 18 and young. Anyway, we get old, you know. I'm 67. That hurt me. I thought some people go, oh, let's try it again. Let's try it again. I'm 67. Oh. Thank you. That lifted me up a couple notches right there. Around 4 o'clock, Mom would put on a pretty dress, and she would comb her hair. She'd put on perfume. She would look at us, and maybe we had to change or comb her hair. She said, now we got to pick up all the toys and get ready because Dad's coming home. And when Dad come home, they would hug and kiss at the doorway. And we loved to get in on that. I'd be hugging my dad's leg, and when he got done hugging and kissing Mother, he'd pick me up and hug and kiss me. You know, parents, the greatest thing you can do for your children is to love each other. Amen. It gives security to their hearts. And also, assurance of your love for your children makes a tremendous difference in your life. Aren't you glad that we're loved of our Heavenly Father? And we have a loving Father. That's such a blessing. Take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes. I've been teaching in Sunday school Ecclesiastes, and it's been such a wonderful book for me. I've been reading a couple books by Brother Sexton, who's went on to be with the Lord, and learned some things. And I want to try to share some things with you. I want to speak to you about your heart and your heart attitudes. The most important thing is for us to keep your heart right with God every day. That's a big challenge that I have. I want to keep right with the Lord every day. And you know, they call it the poetic books. What books are they? Let's see, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. They're all about your heart. How to keep your heart right with God. You know, Solomon, we believe to be the author here of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes means preacher. And in the first verse of the first chapter, we see the words of the preacher, the son of David. Parents, I want to look at this. David was the man after God's own heart. But Solomon, for a period of his life, decided to go a different direction. You know, parents, we pray for our children. We teach them the best we can and train them. But sometimes they have to make their own decisions as an adult, and they don't always go the way that we'd like them to go. Some people say, well, Ecclesiastes is written when Solomon was backslidden. And I said, no. The Bible says, holy men of God wrote the word of God. So we know he's writing about a time when he was away from the Lord. And I want you to know what he says. He says in verse 2, vanities. What does that mean? It's 30 times, I believe, the Bible says vanities. Vanities is a vapor. I had a tea this morning and the vapor was coming out. You know, you can't really get a hold of a vapor, can you? The Bible says our life's just a vapor. It appears for a little time, it vanishes away. It's gone. And we see here that not only is the life empty and vain, he says also, you keep reading, the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanities. Now notice verse 3. It gives the heart of the problem. Why was it vain? Why was it empty? What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh from where? Under the sun. Say that with me. Under the sun. If you're living under the sun, you're just living for this life. If you're living under the sun, you're not living for eternity. You know, Matthew 6:33, can we say it together? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, Solomon was probably one of the richest men that ever lived. He had great wealth. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I don't know how in the world he ever did it. I'm challenged just to try to keep my one wife happy and trying to love her. You know, God has asked husbands to do an impossible thing. He's asked us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There's no way you can do that apart from God's power and God's help to have that kind of agape love. But Solomon went away from the Lord and he went after things. And what things did he go after? Well, he tells some of the things that he went after. In verse 3, he said of chapter 2, it says he went after wine. You keep reading, he went after things that he could build, buildings. If you read down in chapter 2 and verse 4, he had great works, buildings, houses. He planted vineyards. He made beautiful gardens and had all kinds of fruit and fruit trees, and he had servants and he had maids, and he had men and women that sang and played on instruments. And you just continue reading and notice what it says in verse 10 of chapter 2. Notice what it says. Whatsoever my eye desired, I kept not from them. You know, as a pilot, when I went to Oklahoma, when I was a teenager, everything to me was flying. When I turned 18, I was one of three people that had a commercial multi-engine instrument rating. Delta Airlines offered me a job. Young people, don't ever be afraid to give what you have to God. Because I thought, well, that'll be the end of flying if I go to serve, you know. My brother-in-law said, don't waste your life going to that Bible college. You've got an opportunity. Go fly for Delta Airlines. Well, I'm so glad that I gave that flying to the Lord, because as soon as I gave it to God, you know what God did? You might be holding on to something today and say, well, I just don't want to serve God because I'm going to miss out on something. No, God gave it right back to me. The professors heard that I was a pilot, and I started flying them. And anyway, when I got in Oklahoma, there was a rich man named Ralph. And Ralph had an income of about $7 million a year. He was making at that time about $600,000 a month. And some of you have heard this story before, but everybody hasn't, and I want to tell you about it. Ralph made $600,000 a month. Did you hear that? That was U.S. Okay. That's about 4,000. I said 4,000. But anyway, a lot of money. That's more money than I'd make in years. $600,000 a month. Now, if you think money is going to make you happy, let me tell you about Ralph. $600,000 a month off all his oil wells, and he wasn't happy. So you know what he did? He started stealing the oil off the tanks before it went through the counter, because there was investors that owned parts of the well. And so he would take tanks, trucks, and fill it with oil where he'd get 100% of the money and not have to share it with the investors. Well, you know, the Bible does say, be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible does say we will reap what we sow. And guess what? He got caught. And so while Ralph was in jail, his wife divorced him, went off with another man. When Ralph got out of jail, his son had been on drugs, and his son committed suicide. I want to ask you a question. What good did all that money do him? Did it make him happy? Was he sad? I want you to notice what Solomon says in chapter 2 and verse number 1. It kind of gives you the philosophy of men today and in this world. And it says, I said to my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. You know, most people in this world that aren't Christians and aren't trying to live for God are just living for any pleasure that they can get out of it. And Solomon had all the pleasure that you could think that anybody would want, but you know what? He said it's all vain. It's all empty. Nothing will satisfy the longing of your heart like the Lord. I had an opportunity in 1976 to go down. I called Brother Roloff and asked him if I could come down. And he said, come down. And I had a little 63 Ford Fairlane. It burned a lot of oil. I kept used oil and milk jugs in the trunk. And when the oil light come on, I just pulled over and got a gallon jug and just put the 4 gallons in. I tried not to give it the gas or let off the gas if you're by policemen, because it did get off quite a lot of pollution. But that's all I had. I drove all the way to Texas with that car, and Brother Roloff, he let me sing on the radio. He let me preach at the Lighthouse or the Rebecca Home for Girls. He took me flying and let me fly his planes. He took me hunting, and we shot 48 quail. Brother Roloff was very good with Browning 12-gauge automatic. He got most of them, even though I had done a lot of shooting, too. He was a very good shooter. One day I asked him, you know, Brother Roloff, I said, he always went to prayer in the morning, about 4:30 in the morning. I said, Brother Roloff, could I go to prayer with you in the morning? He said, well, yeah, I guess it'd be all right, as long as you don't say anything and stay behind me. And I'm telling you what, that changed my life. God came down and walked with us. I never sensed anything like that in my life before that. It was amazing. This man needed $10,000 every day to keep the homes open, and he walked with God and by faith prayed that money in to help teenagers and young people that have went the way of the world and were broken and abused. And he loved them and tried to help them. You know what he did to change their lives? They had to memorize a chapter of Scripture every day. You know what he did to change their life? They had to work in the garden, growing vegetables and things. Brother Roloff was a man that influenced me and changed my heart and life. And there's nothing more wonderful to live and walk in the presence of God. I want you to turn to Psalms 16. And I'm not telling you that I'm something special and I'm always walking with God. That wouldn't be the truth. But I'm telling you, I want to walk with God. I want to please God. I want His presence because it makes me so happy when I'm in His presence. The Bible says in Psalms 16 and verse number 11, if you're living for happiness and for this world, you're never going to be happy. Forget about yourself. Forget about your pleasure and realize that we were made for God's pleasure, Revelation 4:11 tells us. We're made to please Him. And notice what it says in verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. Aren't we glad for God's direction in our life? In Thy presence is fullness of what? Living in God's presence will bring you the greatest joy that you're going to have in this life. Notice it goes on to say, At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. What's this world going to get when they end up with all their trinkets and all those things? You know, as a pilot, you fly over junkyards. And you know, when you look down at them junkyards, you see all them cars. Those are really something special to people one time. They paid a lot of money for them cars. You know what they are now? It's junk. Just a lot of junk. You know, walking with God brings me more pleasure than anything else. Trying to live for God brings me pleasure to see young people that want to live for God. If you're holding on to something and think you're going to miss out of joy and pleasure, well, Solomon had it all. But he wasn't happy. He said it was vain. He said it was empty. Kind of reminds me of a man in the New Testament. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 12? Most of you know the story. In Luke chapter 12, we have a story of a wealthy man that got so much crops and had so much wealth that his barns couldn't contain it all. So you know the story. What did he do? He built bigger barns. Now what should have he done? He should have said, Lord, how can I help that widow or somebody down? How could I help this church? How could I help my neighbor? What could I do for somebody else? But no, he said, I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to party. I'm going to live it up. Now, if you look at chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus is telling this story with this warning. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of what? What are we supposed to beware of? We live in a covetous society. Everything's about things. You can't take your things with you. When we die, we're going to leave it all behind. And that's what the Lord tells this rich man. But look at his philosophy, this rich man. Verse 19, the last part, he says, Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to party. Have a good time. It kind of sounds like the prodigal son, doesn't it? You know, he got his money, and he went and lived it up, and he ended up in the hog pen. Let me tell you something. The devil will bring you down. All the way down. There won't be any place else to look but up. And that'll be a good time. That'll be a good day when you decide to rise up and go back to the Father. But you don't have to do that. I thank God I never went that direction, and I don't want to go that direction. But we see here what God says about him. Look at verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Don't waste yourself, your life, and yourself trying to make a lot of money, trying to get things for yourself. Live for the Lord and put him first. The devil is always trying to twist the truth. I would like you to look at Ecclesiastes, and I think it's around chapter number 10. I can get back there. 9:10. Look at Ecclesiastes. Years ago, you know, the cults liked the book of Ecclesiastes. Do what they might. Live it up. Party. Because there is no... In Ecclesiastes, you come to the last chapter, and then he says, when that dust returns to the earth, notice it says, at the end, he says in verse 13 of chapter 10, a secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. 23, you can say the first verse with me, pastures. He's going to lead us to the still waters. He's going to restore. God promises to be a loving heavenly Father that will meet into a lie. We see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 9, seeking pleasure for themselves, they become is the power of a lie. He lied to Adam. Huh? Don't believe the lies of the devil. Here's enough finding my keys to my one car. How many of you lose the keys to your car? You know, oh, she didn't know where the keys were. You know, what would you do if you had 15 houses? Served self, sin. The creature way for a man who's living a lie to find satisfaction. Serving self, you're never going to get satisfaction. When you lie to the devil, if you serve God, you're missing out. The greatest days of your life will be the days that you walked closest to the Lord. You're going to, you know, feel bad for him. Just forget it and get up and go on for the Lord. You know, as you start feeling better. You know, as you start praising God. To Titus. Titus chapter number 3, verse number 2. And I'll conclude. There, that looks better. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 2. But gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts, pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. There is a day in my life everything changed when I got born again, 1970. You know, I've been trying to live for the Lord all these years. And let me tell you something. It's the greatest life there is. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, serving the Lord. I haven't always been faithful, but God has always been faithful. You'll never be sorry when it comes to die that you live for the Lord. I've been by a lot of people that were dying that had a lot of regrets. And I want to keep trusting the Lord. Listen to this verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, God's going to meet your needs. Don't try to meet your own needs. Don't try to steal. Don't try to get something that's not yours. Don't think that all these little trinkets out there are going to make you happy. That's just a bunch of junk. The real treasures, the real riches are the Lord and His Word, the souls of men and women, and people that you can love and encourage. Would you bow your heads? Rambled a little bit, but I hope you got a little bit of what I was trying to tell you. The greatest times in my life has been when I sensed the presence of God. You know, God's presence is here this morning.